When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another OHIO podcast. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. That handsome devil over there with the cool aviators on, that's the wild man, Chris Wilds, and you are you, and we're thankful that you decided to join us tonight. Chris, we got this was a massive, and I mean massive, I'm talking like President Trump huge weekend type of weekend, man.
Huge.
For recruiting. Huge.
No, huge.
Hewage. Is it hewage?
Hewage.
That sounds a lot like sewage. I don't know about that. So we're going to talk all about that. All right. We're going to talk about the recruiting weekend. It is possible. I'm not saying it's 100%, but it sure seems likely. All right, Ed, which one of us is too loud? Let us know, Ed. We're trying to get our level volumes levels even. And what will happen is one person will hop in and they'll be way higher than the other two. So we need your feedback in the comments. Let us know if one of our volumes is too loud. We'll try to adjust it on the fly. Thank you, Ed, for letting us know. That being said, Chris, we are the official Ohio State podcast of Scarlet and Game and Fan Sided. Head over to scarletandgame.com. You can check out great articles there as well as our audio version of the podcast. Also, go check out our website, Chris, theohiopodcast.com. On there, you'll find a store. We've got all kinds of great stuff on there. We even have a Ric Flair robe that became the topic of conversation in the second part of the show last week that JR will be sporting here very soon. So, and we get to see a little bit of Chris's new office here as he's sporting a brand new office/recording studio. So we're thankful for that tonight. While he's getting that Ric Flair robe, he's going to show all of us. There it is. Silk Touch. My goodness.
Silk Touch.
Silk Touch. Nice. We are thankful for all of you. Still sunny in Florida. Hello to all in the OH. IO, buddy. Scott Young's in the house tonight. Go Bucks. OH. IO, back to you, brother. Ed Rogers is in the house. Ed, like I said, let us know if our volume's off, buddy. We need to know that, okay? Look who it is, Chris. It's Mama Boggs. Mama Boggs. She just became a member. She became lucky number 7. Member number 7. We now have Brian King, Chris Smith, Jay Thompson, Larry Daniels, Billy Bob's Backyard Barbecue. Someone I don't know, Chris. It's SAC3074. If that's you, I need to know who you are because I need to get you your t-shirt. I don't know who you are. SAC3074. If that's you, let us know. And of course, our new member tonight, Mama Boggs. Thank you, Ed. Ed says we sound good. All right. I've done all the talking so far. We'll see how Chris sounds in a minute. By the way, JR will be arriving here shortly. He's running a little bit late. Easter festivities, which reminds me, Chris, happy Easter to all of you. And happy Easter to you as well, Chris. Did you have a good day?
I can't complain. You know, like I said, got the office together a little bit here and got the office/recording studio in good shape. Had a nice dinner. Got to spend time with the wife and the kids. And hey, even I went outside a little bit, and it was kind of pleasant. So,
yeah, and happy birthday to your son as well.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, his birthday was on Friday, and It was kind of fun because I actually hit a $500 scratch off on his birthday, and he found a way to spend it all.
Did he put it all on Purdue on the over? Or is that you?
We aren't going to talk about that.
Congratulations to the Boiler Express podcast, our friend Dylan Kuhn, celebrating a Final Four victory for his Boilermakers as well. Demetrius Evans, great question, Demetrius. It's crazy to me how other fan bases keep attributing our recruiting success solely to NIL. Like, we haven't been having top 5 to 10 recruiting classes yearly before NIL. Ohio State's been doing this ever since they've been actually like following and grading recruiting classes. You go back to Cooper in the 90s, back when it was basically just magazines, you know, that were doing this. Cooper always had amazing recruiting classes.
Oh, yeah.
Early 2000s, recruiting took on a new form of medium thanks to the internet and online magazines and online media companies like 247 Sports, which is, I believe, owned by CBS, other companies like that.
On three,
ESPN really was a big one back in the early 2000s that basically created an entire department of recruiting and grading recruiting videos from kids. Ever since then, Ohio State has always been, maybe 1 year they weren't in the top 10 that I can remember.
Yeah.
So it's never been a problem getting talent here. The problem has been developing that talent and not losing the game we cannot lose.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not surprised by what's happening now. Now that NIL is above board, go back and watch my video from yesterday where I basically make fun of Alabama fans who trolled themselves. Well,
they've been doing that stuff down in the South for years, Eric. Like you said, they've been down that stuff. And I believe you referred to it as McDonald's bags, duffel bags, whatever they had, you know, we know they were doing it. You know, I'm a firm believer. You know, we're both big fans of the movie Blue Chips. Well, let me tell you something. Blue Chips, I think, was based on Alabama recruiting there, the Friends of the Program thing. So now that it's all above board, everybody else has their shot too, you know?
Right. I mean, NIL essentially just leveled the playing field.
Yes.
And as Buckeye fans, we should be celebrating that. So great comment, Demetrius. Appreciate it. But I'm with you 100%. This should not surprise anybody with what is going on over at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center when it comes to recruiting. All right, JR, we are really working hard on our volume levels. So
how do I sound?
A little loud. Hot, a little hot. Try to take her down.
How about
a
now? Bit.
That sounds That's good
better.
To me.
Better. Okay.
All right, everybody in the chat, let us know. If one of us is too loud or too soft, we need to know because we want to get this ironed out. And so that way we no more have anybody saying one of us is too loud in the comments section. That's my goal.
Are we sure we just don't have some Michigan trolls in here telling us to?
I'm positive. You might want to turn it up now just a smidge. Just a little bit. Someone will be transferring at the QB position. Devin Brown or Lincoln, says Ryan Wickerham. You can't keep five on the roster. Not at that position. Someone's going
to
go.
Tell you, not to get ahead of ourselves, Eric, but given what we saw Saturday from Devin, I don't look for it to be him. Because he looked pretty good on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably either going to be Keenholz or Nolan.
I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I want to get into that tonight. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's saying that Brown looks a little bit ahead of Will Howard. I'm not surprised by that though.
He's been in the system longer.
He's been, yes. If you all thought Will Howard was just going to step in and look like he's ready to go to the NFL, then why isn't he going to the NFL?
There are two quarterbacks that could have stepped into this system and looked amazing instantly. They were Justin Fields and C.J. Stroud because they both played in it. But since those aren't options, you're going to have to go with what you got.
Yes. Jeremiah Yoder, now that we are heading into the month of April tomorrow, getting excited for the Ohio State football spring game, looking forward to hopefully having some questions answered. Two things. our tailgate this year at the spring game. Next week, we, Chris and I, will probably try to knock. One of us, or maybe both of us, are going to have to go down to campus and look at what's going on. Apparently, they've got a lot of campus tore up now, and so we need to make sure we find a spot that we can tailgate in. We will let you all know next week where that spot's going to be, so you can look to join us before and after the spring game at the tailgate party. That's the first thing. The second thing, tomorrow's April 1st. It's April Fool's Day. Just stay off of social media. Do not get burned by the stupid jokes people are going to make, okay? They're going to come. Someone's going to say something dumb like Mike Hart just got hired as the running backs coach and just make someone like Chris fall off, you know, go jump off a bridge, okay? So just stay off social media tomorrow on April 1st because you won't be able to trust just about anything that you hear. Coconut Dreams is in the house. Happy Easter, Eric, Chris, and JR. I'm scooping and Ohio podcasting at the same time. Got to show you guys a little love too. Dude, that's big time if you're actually watching us with Scoop, man. I tip my hat to you. Most of the time, we get everybody joining us after Scoop's over, and we understand they are the big dog on the block. So we're kind of like my dog. We have a loud bark, but we're very small. We're the punky on this block right here. That's my dog's name. Vol Fanatic Show. What's going on, guys? When is Ohio State's spring game? It is April 13th, right? Yeah.
Yeah, no. April 13th.
April 13th, yeah.
You boys want to come on down from Rocky Top and see how football is played, you're more than welcome.
Come on down or come on up?
Well, they're up on a mountain somewhere.
Down on Rocky Top, head north. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Looking forward to the big news coming out in a couple weeks with you guys. Ryan Wickerham, I have one I'm going to post. Okay. He's already got it lined up. Thank you, Jeremiah Yoder. All three of you are just fine volume-wise here. Appreciate that. All right, guys, let's dive into it. Let's get going. 12 minutes into the show, we haven't even talked about what I want to talk about. This weekend was boomtastic. Can we call it that? It was boomtastic?
Wasn't bad.
I mean, kaboom, boom, boom. Let's start here because I want to first find out which boom you liked the best. We had Friday night's boom. 4-star defensive lineman out of IMG Academy, London Merritt. So Larry Johnson with a big boom Friday night, followed by Saturday's first boom of two when we got a linebacker. This one, James Laurinaitis's boy, and I think they call him TJ, but it's Tarvis Alford the second. Yep. I think they call him TJ Alford. And then we had later in the day, we got our first of two booms out of the state of New Jersey, DePaul Catholic duo. We nailed down wide receiver. They call him Dez Jones or Deezy, I think is how it's pronounced. Dezzy maybe, Jones. Of course, this following the departure of Javen Boggs from this class. And then his teammate at the safety position, Deshaun Stewart, he made his commitment today. So two from that. So four all in the same weekend. JR, I'll start with you. Which one of those four got you the most excited? Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
JR, you're muted.
Sometimes I breathe into the mic, so I always have to mute myself so that way don't hear me breathing
that.
In the background. Like I'm sure Vader. That's not enjoyable. Yeah, for podcasting. I have to be honest. The one that I just went back to, and like as soon as it was announced and I saw it, was TJ Alford. And more so than anything, because it just like confirms to me that we are exactly right about James Laurinaitis. And James Laurinaitis is getting himself on the path of Tim Walton and Brian Hartline. Now, you're not going to see as many stars from James Laurinaitis because the linebacker position is not prioritized as much in the NFL draft. So therefore, they do not get you know, the same treatment star-wise as the wide receivers and the cornerbacks and the safeties and people like that do. However, you are going to see some of the best linebackers in the nation, I think, coming to Ohio State now because you have James Laurinaitis here. And there must just be something about being a former player, being a great player that did it while you were here, that is just even more enticing to some of these college kids. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm sure it would, you know, make me more apt to go in there, but whatever reason it is, we have a three-headed monster in the, on the recruiting trail right now, and I just can't wait to see James Laurinaitis keep going.
Chris?
Yeah, as excited as I am about Merritt, I really feel like Alford was the bigger get, just like Jarrett was saying, because he's really the true first big get that Laurinaitis has had since becoming a full-time coach. You know, he's what, the 63rd ranked player in the nation, according to the 247 Sports Composite. You know, he's I think he's a great linebacker. He's got speed. He's aggressive at the point of attack, fluid. You know, has great range, and he, you know, has the ability to get up there, play long, knock down passes. He's athletic, physical, everything you want in a linebacker. And I think that when Laurinaitis gets a hold of this guy, he's going to make a star out of him.
I don't want to agree with you guys because that's not good for podcasting, but I will because I think it's true. But at the same time, I want to highlight two coaches. Number one, I find it kind of funny that the soon as Javon Boggs, by the way, I'm super disappointed he decommitted, just name basis.
I know, you wanted your Boggs jersey.
I did. I just, that disappointed me. But that Brian Hartline's like, okay, now who else wants in? Oh, you do? Okay, come on. Like, it's that easy for him at this point, right? And then on top of that, how about on Tuesday, Larry Johnson talks about his age, and we all talked about, Chris, you and I talked about how he seemed rejuvenated and really was a spry-looking and sounding 71-year-old man, and then he hammers down a big-time recruit commit this weekend and really got the ball rolling.
And Eric, a big thing about Merritt, too, is yeah, he's a big-time commit, four-star guy, top 100 nationally, just like you mentioned. But he comes from IMG Academy. They're a football factory, Eric. These guys, I mean, if you look right now, they have 30 players who are rostered in NCAA Division I ball and 24 more who are in the NFL currently active. 54 guys currently active in either big-time college ball or in the NFL. That's amazing.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. Matty Butcher from Australia in the house. I saw Coconut. Did I see Coconut Dreams earlier? Yes, I did.
Yeah, we got Australia and the Philippines both in the house tonight, Eric.
That's right. We're international, baby. We're international. Matty Butcher, hey, fellas, happy Easter. In regards to recruiting with NIL, does the prestige in playing for top schools like Alabama or Ohio State still hold its place, or are the kids going to schools purely for the money? Because this year, Ohio have copied plenty of stick after using NIL to recruit players where other schools have done it for much longer.
Yeah, Erica, if you don't mind me jumping in here, I think it's still definitely – you know, there's still a lot associated with the prestige because playing at a school of this caliber, whether you're paid to or not, playing and performing at a high level at a school of this caliber carries a lot of weight when you go to make the move to the next level. I mean, you could have, and I'm just going to throw something crazy out here, you could have Kent State go out and buy a number one draft, the number one recruit in the nation. But just because he looks good at Kent State doesn't mean that it's going to have the same bearing as looking good at Ohio State.
Let me push back slightly, okay?
Go ahead and throw back Deion's bye a couple years ago. Go ahead.
No. I'm actually going to keep it in the state. Let's look at Toledo. I think Toledo's going to have a kid who's drafted in the top 10 this upcoming draft. So it's you can go to a
I'm not
smaller
saying
school
you can't.
And still get drafted, but the if you look at the number of kids drafted from
right.
programs – Ohio State, Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame,
USC.
USC, and I'm missing another one that's in the top five. Is it Oklahoma, maybe?
Either Oklahoma or Texas, I'm betting.
It's got to be an SEC school. I'm missing one from the SEC.
Georgia?
They're a little bit more new money, man. I know they want to argue about that. I know that that's probably going to ruffle some feathers. And maybe Mr. Wallace will correct me and say it's Florida State. By the way, Mr. Wallace, this is a great comment, and I'm gonna answer your comment with a question. Florida recruits understand going to OSU is big time. I love the Noles, but I see why Florida athletes commit early. My follow-up question is, we see that as well, but why do Florida kids decommit more than any other kid from any other state? I want to know your opinion on that, Mr. Wallace, as a Florida guy. Would love to get into the weeds with someone about that. All right, next question about this recruiting weekend, big recruiting weekend that we had. Out of those who visited, who would you like to see commit the most? Let me run down a quick list of some of the big dogs that were here. Five-star offensive tackle David Sanders Jr. was here. Five-star wide receiver Jamie Finch was here. Five-star cornerback Dorian Brew was here. High four-star safety Jonah Williams. High four-star safety Fahim Deloney. Another safety, Jaden Hudson, was here. Running back Bo Jackson, four-star, was here. Linebacker Riley Pettijohn, I believe maybe is how that's
Pettijohn, yeah.
Pettijohn. And then some receivers who I don't know anything about yet. Talon Taylor, Phillip Bell, Daylon McCutcheon, Donovan Olugbodi. Sorry.
Was that a question or a statement?
Maybe both. Vernell Brown, Marcus Harris, and then Trent Wilson, a defensive lineman, was also here this weekend. Same order, JR. Which one on that list would you love to see Ohio State nailed down? And I already know the honest answer, and probably the best answer, is the first guy I mentioned, but feel free to give a second if you like.
Well, I was going to say, my head says David Sanders Jr. Obviously, you know, a spectacular player, is going to be a first-round draft pick and definitely a spot of need. But my heart says I really, really, really just want to stick it to that team up north who was so excited that he came to their campus for one day, but he came to Ohio State for 2 days, and that's Jordan Davison. Give me Jordan Davison, bring him here, show him that Tony Alford doesn't give them anything, and they can go and cry and be upset and say, oh, we got Tony Alford, I thought our recruiting was going to improve. No, you still signed three stars, give us our five star. That's my answer.
I like that answer. Chris?
Yeah, I'm with JR. I'd love to say David Sanders, but, you know, fact is, he's staying close to home, probably going to Clemson or Georgia. I just don't see us getting him, Eric. I mean,
but this is where NIL can step in and really do some stuff.
But you look at him, 5 of 6 of his schools are all in the South. Ohio State's the outlier. Yeah, it would be great to see him as a Buckeye. Yes, there's some prestige in playing there, but you know what? Arguably, Georgia's got just as much prestige right now. As far as that recency bias goes, and
maybe more,
obviously, given the fact they've got a couple national titles.
I actually think Georgia doesn't have as much prestige, and I know that's like kind of like a homer take, but anyway, you go ahead.
I think in the long term, you're right. You know, I think overall you're right as far as if you look back through history, but you know, recency bias does play a factor with these kids. But that being said, you know, I really like the Jamie French, the receiver. I think he's big. I think there's obviously a opportunity there with Boggs decommitting for him to step in and be a top receiver in that cycle for us. And also, I think probably the one I'm most excited about, though, is Dorian Brew.
Okay.
He's big. He's physical corner, 6'2", 185. Great in press coverage, very aggressive, and actually, you know, pretty surprisingly good in coverage for somebody with his size as well.
Cornelius, this is just him, man. It's just Chris. He keeps us grounded, brother. Keeps us grounded. Chris is the eternal pessimist on our show. He keeps us grounded, brother. Don't you worry. By the way,
I'm just keeping it real.
Chris says it's Fincher Brew. The obvious answer is David Sanders Jr., right? I do think NIL gives us a puncher's chance. I do. I think that this is going to be I don't think he's just going to commit out of nowhere to Clemson. I think that this is going to be a battle to the end. And who knows? I mean, if we're right there, ranked number one in the country, and everything's going well, and he sees some NIL dollars floating his way that Clemson's not willing to match, I think we got a puncher's chance. But outside of him, can I say Bo Jackson?
Sure.
I mean, number one, the name, brother.
You just love the marketing possibilities, don't you?
I see dollar signs out the yin yang, man. I see Bo Jackson on campus.
Maybe get Bo Jackson and Bo Jackson.
Exactly. I see
him doing a commercial.
I see the Bo Jackson on campus with our Bo Jackson doing a Bo Knows Nike commercial, man.
You know, just in case you're wondering, the Bo Jackson's going to be in Columbus here in a few months.
Signing autographs. Yeah. Ed Rogers, Georgia has cash too. Yes, they do. They do. But here's the thing. Georgia's been paying out that cash for decades, bro. Ohio State's just getting started, and the playing field is now level. So that's what is, I think, exciting about the fact that we have NIL. If you're going to take a positive swing on this, because I know a lot of people are down on NIL and it's changed the game forever, et cetera. And I get that. I understand that. A lot of us are traditionalists at heart. But the fact that NIL now exists gives teams like Ohio State, the team up north, and Notre Dame here in the north the opportunity to now be on the same level playing field as the big guys in the south who've been doing this for decades under the table. Those are now the facts. So, you know, yeah, they have cash, but now we can use ours now too, is what I'm saying there. Let me answer this question. Our buddy KP, is anyone worried about not landing Dorian Brew or Trey McNutt due to the numbers game with the commit we just received today? No, and here's why. We're going to take anywhere from 4 to 5 safeties in this class. We are a safeties-driven defense. You because of the transfer portal, you have to take maybe more than what you thought you needed to, simply because you need to replenish those who might leave. And so I think Trey McNutt being a son of a former Buckeye is big for us. I think
we get McNutt, Eric. I really do. I think
I do too.
I think we get Brew. And correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Dorian Brew have some ties to Ohio State as well? Wasn't his mother like a track star or something at Ohio State?
I'm not sure. Do you know, JR?
Yeah, one of them was their mother was like a huge track star, and then the father ran at LSU, but then he has some kind of connection to Ohio State as well. I forget exactly what it is, but yeah, there's some kind of track mother that is a huge star at Ohio State.
Okay. His father was an Olympic gold medalist? Did I read that right? Wow. And his mom was a sprinter at Ohio State and a member of the Ohio State Athletics Hall of Fame.
The dad has some kind of connection, too. I can't recall it off the top of my head, but he has some kind of connection to Ohio State as well. I don't know if it's in track and field or what, but he – like there's something connecting him, too.
Yeah, the Coconut Dreams, you're absolutely right, because our numbers just went doubled.
So, here come the scoopers.
Here come the scoopers. Welcome in.
That's
scoopers.
Okay. Welcome, scoopers. We're happy to share your yeah. Share
absolutely. Your. All right. Next recruiting question, guys. So, who is most likely to commit from those who visited? Well, obviously, we found that out today. Who from that list do you think will be next to commit? How about that one, JR? I mean, this is a crapshoot, really. But
I, yeah, I like. I when I saw this question on the show notes, I was like, any one of them could commit any day now, you know, like it's one of those things where, you know, like it just kind of depends on what they're feeling. I mean, obviously I would say whichever one has the next commitment date set. Like, I know that's a cop out, but whichever one has a commitment date set next, I just feel like that's the one that's probably going to come, because like, when you come to Ohio State, like, nobody leaves Ohio State and says, I had a bad time at Ohio State. No recruit leaves saying that. If anything, whenever a recruit comes, they're either solidified, I'm going to Ohio State because we were already number one, or they come and they say, you know, oh, well, I had them fifth, but now they're in the top two because I had such a great time there. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen at other college campuses, too. Surely, you know, they impress them there, too, as well. But, like, some of these guys, and you saw it this weekend, where guys come, and it wasn't just TJ Alford that committed. There were other guys that committed too, because they come and they see it and they're amazed by it, and it just, it is what it is. So I know that's kind of a cop out answer, but I'm just going to say whichever one has a commitment date set next.
All right, before you give that next answer, Chris, we got member number 8. Coconut nice. Dreams from the Philippines just became a member of the OHIO podcast.
Can we hit 10 before the end of the show?
Now, this one's going to be interesting because I've never shipped anything to the Philippines before. But as a member, official member t-shirt coming your way, Coconut Dreams, DM me on Twitter or instant message me on Facebook, either one of the two. Or you can email the show at theohiopodcast@gmail.com. Send me your address and maybe we'll be sending you not only a t-shirt, but a care package from the great state of OHIO, buddy. Thanks for becoming a member. Really do appreciate that. And you can do as well, guys. It's not that hard. Go to our YouTube page. Hit the join button. $3.99 a month. That is it. Get some behind-the-scenes stuff. Free t-shirt. All kinds of good stuff. Free shipping from the store.
Yeah.
So there you go. Chris Smith, there you go. It's a podcast boom. Welcome in, Coconut Dreams. Appreciate it. All right, Chris, who do you think is going to commit next out of this list of guys who was here this weekend?
You know, it is tough to say. It is kind of crapshoot, but, you know, I said it before, I'll say I like Jamie French here. I do, because I think that when he decommitted from Alabama, he was already had Ohio State in mind. I think he was torn between Ohio State and Alabama to begin with. I think the changes at Alabama and the decommitment just kind of lend towards him coming to Ohio State at this point. I believe that the decommitting of Boggs opens that spot, like I said earlier, for him to come in and be, you know, our guy in that class. So I'm looking for Jamie French to be the next one.
Well, you just kind of stole my thunder a little bit, Chris, but let me go ahead and... Okay. Asterisk. This is a rumor. I don't have the sources to confirm this, but I've heard Jamie French is a silent commit already. Take it for what you will.
You know what they say about silent commits, don't you, Eric?
What's that?
If they would really commit, they wouldn't be silent. I'm probably the pessimistic one here, but I hate silent commits. If you're going to commit, just commit. I like hearing a, you know.
And then if you're
like
from Florida, decommit in 2 weeks.
But well, do you know what I hate though? I hate what? Commits who commit and then take visits. Like, why did you commit to begin with?
I'm okay with them if they're Jeremiah Smith. He's doing okay.
Well, yeah, but I'm also just saying, like.
No, I hear what you're saying.
I live in a different era, though. To me, that's like saying, you know, hey. Will you be my wife? But also, I'm going to go ahead and keep dating. Like,
JR, as far as Jeremiah Smith doing okay, yeah, I agree, he's doing okay. But let's not jinx anything before the spring portal closes, okay? Just saying.
Okay, sounds good. I appreciate your what's the word? Your conservativeness there, Chris. You know, we don't lose out on probably one of the best players in all of college football history, possibly.
Will Buck, guys, this recruiting has been awesome. Best I have ever seen. Day has been in the hunt with top recruits before NIL, Downs, Keeley, but got outbid. Now with the level playing field, he's kicking a double S. I agree, but. I'm just telling you, if 247 Sports was around in the 90s, Cooper would have been number one several times.
Yeah.
And listen, no one on this show is a ginormous Cooper fan here, okay? I mean, Chris has been calling Ryan Day Cooper 2.0 for a couple seasons now. And that's
not endearingly.
It's not endearing, right? So, but I'm telling you, back in the 90s, Cooper had some classes that were number one in the nation.
Yeah.
So we've seen this before. It just hasn't been graded. Okay. There wasn't a 247.
Oh, that class the year that Beanie came in, man.
Was that 03 or 04?
Was that 04? And the night, was it 96?
It was either the year or the second year after the Natty.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Trestle was just steamrolling.
But you can go back to Cooper. I mean, was it 96? Was that one of his big ones, wasn't it? 90.
Yeah, because then they were juniors in 98 and were number one in the nation. And everybody was like, talk to our boy Jonathan Cooper, right? I mean, yeah, he was on that team.
We also need to recognize that, like, Ohio high school football, like, obviously Ohio high school football has also been good, but or has always been good. But, I mean, do you guys know who the – either the fourth or the fifth state with the most NFL players in the NFL right now is the state of Ohio. It goes Florida, Texas, California, Ohio. I mean, Ohio is tiny compared to the populations in those states. Not tiny, but smaller than the populations in those states. And Ohio high school football is putting out players who don't just go to Ohio State, but also go to other places, and then they get into the NFL, and it's crazy. So, like, yes, Ohio State is recruiting an amazing clip, and I get that, like, not everybody is, who's committing right now is from Ohio, but there's five top 100 players in Ohio right now in this class for 24/7, and that's really, really good. And so Ohio high school, football coaches and everything else is going on, like, they're really doing their work, and they're sending their guys to schools that'll prepare them for the NFL.
2 weeks ago, I had the Cincinnati podcast on here, right? The Kelseys came up, like, two of the most popular and better NFL players in the last decade were from Northeast Ohio, went to Cincinnati because they weren't good enough to play Power 5 football and ended up going to the NFL, and look what kind of careers they had.
They're both Hall of Famers, most likely.
Ohio high school football is legit, and I'm telling you, I would be interested, JR, to find out what positions the majority of those kids are playing. My guess is there probably a ton of them are like trench kids, offense, defensive line, tight ends.
Probably throwing up for you running backs.
Linebackers, you know.
Yeah, linebackers.
So, yeah. Let's move on. I think we have one more question here in this topic. All right, yes. Which one of these recruits that was on campus this week do you like the best and why? And feel free to be as creative as to the reason why you like that recruit, JR.
Well, I'm trying to find one to say that I haven't already said, and I know Chris said him last time, but I guess I'll kind of piggyback. I just really like Jamie French, and I think that he is going to be a fantastic player, and the shot that Hartline has for him and the abilities that he possesses, like, I'm not saying he's going to be a Jeremiah Smith and come in here and be like that, but I could see him coming in and being similar to, like, Carnell Tate, where he is coming in and he's seeing time as a freshman. Maybe he's not starting, but he's seeing time, and then that sophomore year, you get a year of him before he's going to hit the draft. It kind of just depends on the guys you have in the room around him and that kind of stuff. But Jamie French is one player that I really, really want. And I know a wide receiver is like, oh, another wide receiver. But at the end of the day, I need Jamie French in my life on my favorite football team.
Go for it.
Well,
Chris,
I'll tell you what. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I'm just going to leave it with this. Dorian Brew, like I said, I love the physicality. I think that Tim Walton has brought BIA to a whole new level. I really feel like defensive backs, we are DBU once again. And I think that he's going to be a great addition.
Give me Trey McNutt. whenever someone has an online presence like he has in a YouTube channel like he does, that's a kid after my own heart, man. I think that's unique. He's got a great personality. I think he's going to be one of those kids who gets on campus and the media is going to fall in love with because of that personality. So yeah, he's one of my favorite kids, that was on campus this weekend, and hoping he decides to pull the trigger on this really soon. I want to answer a question on here that I saw. Coconut Dreams. If the OHSAA would allow 7-on-7, Ohio high school football would get even stronger. This is true, but there is something that we do in the state of Ohio, I think just about better than anybody else, that contributes to college football and the number of recruits coming out of the state of Ohio, and it's twofold. Number one is Ohio is a strong wrestling state, and any football coach will tell you that if you wrestle, it only helps you play football as well. Let's look at Luke Fickell. Luke Fickell is probably one of the greatest wrestlers in the state of Ohio ever, history. I don't think he ever lost a match. I think he was a state champion 4 times.
And this has been going on for years. You go back to Cousineau, same thing. Tom Cousineau, amazing, amazing wrestler.
And coupled right with wrestling is the state of Ohio's ability to, with the powerlifting. Like, that is a very real thing, too. Have you guys seen any of the videos of the young girls in Ohio with the powerlifting? Like, the state can produce some. What was it, Nick Mangold's sister? Wasn't she an Olympian powerlifter? Did she make the Olympics as a powerlifter? I'm pretty sure she did.
I don't remember the Olympics, but I remember she was really big and had a national, I don't know if brand is the right word, but known nationally.
Let's see. I'm going to look her up real fast because I'm pretty sure she did.
Hey, we've got our first official troll over in the chat there, Eric.
Oh, we've had plenty of those. Let's see.
Thank you, trolls, for adding to the views. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holly Mangold, an American weightlifter. Yeah. She was on the American USA weightlifting team. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, let's see. Antoine Johnson, do you think that because Ohio State automatically assumes that they will get Ohio kids to play for them, that it will become a problem for OSU in the future because they only get premium players while shunning the rest?
I think that we've gone through that in the past at times.
Jordan
where
Marshall.
Maybe there was an assumption that these guys would sign with us. I believe that moving forward that we've got an awareness, specifically now that we've got 3 former Buckeyes on that coaching staff, don't look for the state of Ohio to get overlooked again.
I do want to answer this troll with one thing. Number one, have some guts and actually put your name on your name. And then when you do, send me a message and we'll make a significant bet on who wins this year, big guy. See if you're willing to put your money where your mouth is. That's all I'm going to say. All right.
He's not. He's a troll and he doesn't want to show his face.
Yeah, I mean, he already didn't want to put his own.
He's as gutless as Jenny Ballgame.
Look at this fact from 79 Steely Matt. Luke had 107 straight wins in wrestling. Dude, that's more Goldberg, isn't it?
I know that Goldberg had like 100, but.
Did he out Goldberg and, Goldberg?
And his were fixed, man.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, guys. We've got another great topic heading your way in just a minute. So hang tight, everybody. We will be right back with you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com.
Goldberg was 173-0. That was some terrible television, but Chris, 173-0.
And didn't he lose because he got tased or something like that?
Something dumb. Okay,
it was something stupid.
I was a WWF at the time.
I stopped getting really involved when the whole NWA thing closed down originally. You know, about the mid-90s, I was checking out.
All right, let's see here. Okay, Saturday, there was an open practice. I said we weren't going to get into it, but let's get into it. So here's what we're hearing, guys. The students were there. It was student appreciation, a great time there. And let's just say it like it is, man. Jeremiah Smith, the hype train's for real. He might be the best on the team. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that a true freshman literally could be the best wide receiver on the team. But if you saw the highlights, which I'm sure most of you did, and you're hearing the reports, is it possible, JR, that Jeremiah Smith might be the best wide receiver on a team full of five-star receivers? That includes next year's probably a top 10 pick in Emeka Egbuka.
I mean, it is certainly possible. Emeka Egbuka is fantastic, former number one wide receiver in his own class. However, he did not have the same physical gifts and body structure, I guess is the best way to put it, that Jeremiah Smith does. I mean, Jeremiah Smith has come into Ohio State looking like a junior as a freshman. And this is a team that had Sonny Styles come in when he was 17 years old. So it's shocking seeing how big he is and just how college football ready he is all at the same time. So, I mean, with his skills and abilities, I think that you're most likely going to see some of the issues with maybe a few refinement, you know, pieces, maybe some route running or something like that, where he just needs to be a little bit more refined. But of course, we as fans, we don't see the intricacies of that as like a Brian Hartline or a Ryan Day does. However, I put a video out there predicting who the game one starters would be, and I said it would be Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis, and Emeka Egbuka, and that Jeremiah Smith would be starting by game three or four. I don't feel very good about that prediction anymore because I don't know if you can keep Jeremiah Smith from starting at this point just with some of the God-given physical traits and abilities that he has for him to improve, especially in that three-game stretch to start the season that it's just going to be piece of cake.
Chris?
You know, people had said, you know, those guys who claimed to be experts that Jeremiah Smith could potentially be better than Marvin Harrison Jr. And I couldn't even fathom that at the time that I was hearing this at first. But he has come in and he is just physically and maturity wise, I think, at another level coming in as a freshman. He has a skill set as a freshman like none I've seen. He may be the best wide receiver on this team right now. I'm not ready to put that on him during spring ball. But I will say this, Ryan Day is going to have an extremely hard time. He, Chip Kelly, Brian Hartline, they're going to have an extremely hard time keeping this guy off the field. He is an amazing receiver, and I think that he's going to see significant playing time, if not starting playing time.
I agree completely with 79 Steely Matt. He does look like David Boston as a freshman, and that's insane. Here's the one thing that I think kind of could put the kibosh on all of this, and that is if we don't have a quarterback that is on the same page. Okay, CJ Stroud had the ability to put to pinpoint the football exactly where he wanted it and where the wide receiver needed it to be in order for them to be successful. Okay, last year you saw at times, I felt like Marvin Harrison Jr. could probably at times was frustrated that the football was, you know, he had to make miraculous grabs.
Frustrated. He was peeved off, Eric.
Yes, he was at times. And that is a concern of mine this year. I don't think it's going to be as bad as it was last year at times, but to expect a freshman to step in and you know, be in sync from day one with a new quarterback, I say let's lower our expectations a little bit. And it's maybe not necessarily because of JJ's skills. It might be because of who's under a center game one. Let's let that develop. Let's let that cook a little bit before we put those crazy expectations on a young man who's only 17 years old at this time. Will Buck, guys, who should we look for at the spring game? What's the O-line going to be in the interior defensive line? So the interior defensive line is already answered. Like, that's the first string has already been confirmed.
Yeah, across the front, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris. Talk about that defensive line.
No, I just think the defensive line that we've got coming back with, obviously, the bookends there with Jack Sawyer, JT Tumuluau, two of what should be the best defensive ends in the country this year. Tyleek Williams coming back is huge. Teron Vincent.
Ty Hamilton.
I mean, you've got three solid experienced guys there in the center. That defensive line is going to look really strong. And we've got guys that in spring ball are really looking good as far as depth guys right now, too. Caden Curry's look good. We've heard a lot about, obviously, Kenyatta Jackson.
Jason Moore has been talked about a lot lately.
And Jason's, what, a sophomore, I believe?
Mm-hmm.
True sophomore, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the defensive line, I don't think we've got any concerns there. Offensive line, I know we're still doing some... We're still doing some tweaking. Let's hope we're not still experimenting after spring ball like we were last year. I don't think that's going to be the case. Offensive line for me, obviously I think Donovan Jackson, we know what he is. We know where he'll be. Josh Freier, who knows? Is he going to be a guard? Is he going to be a tackle?
He's a guard.
I think he's a tackle. He's going to be
natural guard, but he's going to play tackle.
Yeah, I think the offensive line is pretty much settled from what I'm hearing as far as first string.
Yeah. Montgomery at right guard Montgomery and McLaughlin at center.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
But I'll tell you, I do like the fact that I'm hearing that Carson Hensman is really pushing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to see him leave.
I don't either. I think that he has the ability to be a nasty guy on that front line.
Hensman is only a registered sophomore. He's young. Him and Devin Brown both. Like, that's the piece of why I don't think people are really thinking when they say Devin Brown is going to move on if he's not the starter this year. Like, Will Howard moves on, and Devin Brown next year is a registered junior. He still has two more years.
Can he hold off Julian Sain is the other thought, though.
Maybe. And any Julian of these guys going to have time.
Because there are rumors that right now, that Julian Sain is already on number two on the depth chart.
He's not. That's a lie.
Well, I'm with you, JR. I don't think it's possible, but I'm just saying there are rumors out there saying that Julian Sain has already moved up to number two on the depth chart.
Right. I've heard those too. It's not true.
Are you trying to convince yourself or me?
I'm not convincing anybody. I know that.
Okay.
He's called JR in the know for a reason.
That's right.
He could be someday. Like, he could very well battle Devin Brown next year, but he's gonna need a year in the weight room with Mick.
I agree.
He throws a very nice ball and he has a good release and he's very quick. But he's gonna be paper thin back there if we put him back there and you know, you have the defensive linemen in the Big Ten who aren't the quickest, but they are big boys.
Yeah, they will land on you with a lot of fury.
What we do not want is a repeat of what we saw in the bowl game.
Correct.
Which is why I implore Ryan Day to play these guys early and often.
Often. And for the love of God, let them throw a pass.
Yeah, don't stop. Don't change the playbook to play nice guy. Like, there's no Mr. Nice Guy this season, okay? Your job's on the line, man. So let's get it in motion.
So what do we need, Eric?
We need angry Ryan Day.
There you go.
We need angry Ryan Day. JR, what else have you heard coming out of camp and out of Saturday scrimmage that you feel might be juicy and what people want to hear?
CJ Hicks. CJ Hicks is going to have a larger role than I think people expect this year. He did very well in the scrimmage this weekend, and Jim Knowles is starting to trust him more, and they've kind of created this little niche for him in the defense where he's going to be primarily a blitzer. And when teams see him on the field, they're going to be afraid because most likely CJ Hicks is coming. CJ Hicks stood up Donovan Jackson in the scrimmage. He absolutely stood him up, and Donovan Jackson almost got bull rushed by CJ Hicks. Now, if you see how small CJ Hicks is compared to how large Donovan Jackson is, that's incredibly impressive that he almost, you know, bull rushed him. So at the end of the day, I think CJ Hicks is going to have a bigger role than some people realize. And I don't think that it's just going to be the Sonny Styles and Cody Simon show in the linebacker core the entire time. Not saying that CJ Hicks will take over for Sonny Styles. While that is possible to happen, I do think we will probably see Cody Simon and Sonny Styles, but with a healthy dose of CJ Hicks coming on blitzes and probably disguising some blitzes as well.
Are we going to play more three linebackers more, you think, just because of talent?
I think so, and I think the other piece of this that Jim Knowles likes is he realizes how athletic JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer are, and you saw it a little bit in the bowl game where he was dropping those guys into coverage and he was sending his linebackers on blitzes. And I think you're going to see a little bit of that with CJ Hicks, to where you have CJ Hicks going on the blitz and you're dropping JT Tuimoloau in coverage, or, you know, somebody else like that, because CJ is just a monster, and he just has this God-given talent of maneuvering an offensive line and being able to set them on the back of their feet and get around them, the quarterback.
Cool. That's good news, man. Anything else, boys, before we move on to our last topic for the night? Awesome. Okay. Let's see. Yes, going back to my notes. All right. Do we have a running backs coach or not? So
maybe.
All right. By now, most of you who are in the chat already know this information. But just in case those of you don't, there was a – should I call it a report, JR, or should I just call it a post? What would you call it?
Scoop called a report. I guess I'd call it a report. I mean, I don't want to argue with those guys. They, you know, and they're buddies with Zach and stuff like that. And
okay.
So I've been calling it a report to people, so I'll call it that.
Okay. All right. We'll call it a report. Zach Smith reported Saturday evening that Ryan Day has his running back coach, and it is Carlos Lachlan from Oregon. And I'm like, who? So I immediately dug into this guy, and right off the bat, I want to say this. If this guy truly is the new running back coach, I'm pumped. Dude is awesome interview, and he is ripped. That guy looks like he could, like, bend steel. Like, he's the real deal. But we've heard this before, JR. You know, that Ryan finds his guy, he wants him, and then he can't get him because the other pro, wherever he's at, he's used Ohio State and got a raise. Sounds to me like Tennessee went after this guy from a report I read and was not able to secure him because they weren't able to, you know, buy him out of Oregon's of the contract he has at Oregon. What do you think, man? Is this him?
It very well could be. I think it's very interesting that his buyout is cut in half tomorrow on Monday. So if anybody is listening to this after the fact on Monday and you're like, hey, he's already hired. It's, well, he was hired because his buyout was just cut in half. It's no longer, what was it, $800,000 or something like that. It's only like $400,000. So very well could be, from what I was told about what they're looking for, somebody who has recruiting ties down in the South, mm-hmm. somebody who has worked with large programs and seen success. I threw out the name, which, like I said last week, was just a complete guess, Larry Porter at North Carolina. Obviously, I don't think that is actually the one, but he does kind of fit that mold. And Carlos, was it Lachlan?
Lachlan.
Yeah, okay. Carlos Lachlan. I'm terrible with pronouncing names. I apologize. But he fits everything that I was told. So I would not be surprised at all if it's this guy. And the other piece of it that I wouldn't be surprised at all with is that this guy's hungry and this guy believes in himself. And I don't think Ryan Day, because he's hiring somebody a little bit out of desperation right now, because it is a bit of a desperate time, I don't think he's looking to hire somebody to a 3-year contract. I think he's getting somebody on a 1-year max 2-year contract. And it sounds like this guy, Carlos Lachlan, believes in himself enough that he would look at the opportunity and say, yeah, I'll sign a 1-year contract and they're going to believe me enough and bring me back. So
interesting. Didn't you say to JR, was it a week or 2 weeks ago, that it would be someone in the Big Ten? Well, technically Oregon's in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Ryan Day wanted to go after somebody and kind of assert his dominance a little bit over that program. So it was either going to be a Big Ten team or it was going to be somebody heavily or pretty high up in the SEC, because at the end of the day, Ryan Day is creating this persona for himself, which is very intentional, by the way. People are talking about like, oh, is Ryan Day the next Nick Saban? That's what he's going for. He wants to be the next Nick Saban. He wants to be the one that says, you want to go to the NFL? Come to Ohio State. We produce all positions. It's not just wide receivers. It's not just cornerbacks. It's not just defensive line. We produce all positions, and everybody can go to the NFL. And I think that him hiring away a coach from the other contender team in the Big Ten this season is definitely the way to say, yeah, we're the big boys, and anybody who wants to be somebody needs to come here.
That can go both ways, though, because you lost the running backs coach to your rival.
And that's what I'm saying, is I think that's why he was even more hell-bent on like doing something like that this time, is because he didn't want that persona to be ruined because he lost a coach to a first-time coach. Even though we all know that Ryan Day wasn't extremely happy with Tony Alford, that's not exactly the way it looks from an outsider looking at it.
Let me ask you this question, because I think this is an interesting question, JR, and I know. By the way, it's your new last name.
Makes sense. I'll start putting it here above my
co-host. It does make sense. those people who actually knew you and what you do, it does make sense. Who is the backup plan if this doesn't fall through? Is it Pepe?
There are 3 or 4 names that are backup plans. And I truly believe that Ryan Day thinks if he does not hire Carlos Lachlan, all of these other 3 guys will be a lock. I do believe Pepe Pearson is on that list. I don't know for sure because I don't have the entire list, but I do believe Pepe Pearson is on that list. There is a running backs coach in the MAC. I don't know exactly which one. I know his name is on the list as well. And there's a head coach from one of the group of 5 schools. I can't remember. I talked to a guy about him a week ago. I'll try to look through my messages and get it. But there is a MAC coach, head coach, that is on that list as well, that Ryan Day believes that he would get him for sure if this stuff with Carlos Lachlan doesn't happen. But at the same time, Ryan Day wanted Carlos Lachlan's name out there.
He did want his name out there. After saying he didn't want anybody's name out there.
Yeah, because he didn't want anything out there, but now he does. Because Ryan Day, like I said, is playing this whole persona game where he can say, even though you know I'm about to steal your guy, I can still go steal your guy because he doesn't like what happened with DeMarco Murray. He doesn't like what happened with Robert Gillespie, all that kind of stuff. And he's looking at it as like, I'm going to come steal your guy, whether you know it or not.
Matty Butcher, Eric, whereabouts? I'm going to do this in my terrible Australian accent. Hey, mate, whereabouts is the membership link? Cheers. So, membership link is actually on our YouTube channel. Go over to YouTube, look up the Ohio Podcast, go to the channel. There'll be a join button there. You can hit the join button, and it's $3.99 a month. You just put your information in, bada boom, bada bing, you're a member. We'll be able to send you this t-shirt in about a month's time after you join, and get you squared away there. Get free shipping on our store that Chris runs over at theohiopodcast.com. And include you guys, in case you guys didn't know, we do have a website, theohiopodcast.com. I put little articles out there every now and then for everybody to read. I try to make them super simple to easy to read, kind of like a here's the big news from the day type of thing. I won't call it a, what do they call that when people kind of, a blog. It's not a blog. It's more of an actual website, but we're growing it. So check it out, see what you think. And then some super big news that JR and I are announcing in a couple weeks. So stay tuned for that as well. And there's a legend in the house tonight. Uh-oh, there he is. Mello number 7. I see him on all the big shows, and he just popped in here tonight. Mello, cheers, my man. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. Go Bucks.
That's instant credibility right there, Eric.
That's some, did we just get some street cred? We got some street cred. I'll take that. I'll take some street cred. All right, JR, Chris, you've been quiet this whole time, man. Your thoughts on what JR just spilled to us about the possible hiring of Carlos Lachlan as the new running backs coach at Ohio State as soon as possibly tomorrow or this week?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I look at what the guy did last year with Oregon, and he had the number 30 running game in the nation, averaging about 185 yards a game. He did that with far less talent than what we have in our locker room. Not to say that that Oregon didn't have some running back talent, but you know what? I think that this guy with this locker room can do tremendous things, especially with a Chip Kelly run scheme to work with. I'm excited to the point where, given the expanded season, I really feel like 2,000-yard rushers is not out of the realm of possibility this season.
I'm having fun listening to Matt have a conversation on here.
I should turn the chat off because I tend to glance over there as well. But you
so
know.
Matt gave me a 3 out of 10 on my accent, and he said, you know, practice makes perfect. And so tonight when I crawl in bed, she's going to be like, stop, because of the accent's going to be practiced tonight.
Nice.
Oh, there's a snake in the bed, honey. You better jump out. This is terrible. They have a lot of those down in Australia, I've heard.
If you never did that again, it would be just okay. That'd be all right with the rest of us.
This is why, if you don't get our terrible dad humor, then you're not going to get our show. So,
new rule, when I wear the robe, Eric has to talk in an Australian accent the entire episode.
Okay. But we won't be able to hear him because you're going to be doing the Ric Flair. Woo! Yeah.
So when the robe comes on, in case you guys don't know what we're talking about, we got enough Super Chats last week that this guy said if we got $40 in Super Chats, he would wear that Silk Touch Ohio State robe that is available for purchase on our website, that he would wear that live on a stream. And so I want you to cut an Ohio State Ric Flair promo with that bad boy on. That will be marketing gold.
And you know what the best part about that is the fact that Ric Flair is buddies with one Jim Harbaugh.
He thinks Ric Flair's buddies with anybody who will pay for his services.
That's true.
Okay. All right. Will Buck, how come make a lateral move? Any ideas how he can recruit? Who has he coached? Well, first off, I would say this, Will, go watch some of his interviews he has done. He will motivate you, man. He is an extreme motivator. He's only been at Oregon for a couple seasons, so he was
Western Kentucky, I think, before that, Eric, if I'm not mistaken.
Western Kentucky, and then I thought he had another. Was he? He was at Florida State, then Western Kentucky, possibly, or maybe vice versa.
Well, here, I'll Oregon. Double check here.
So yeah, I believe. If you look at what we have in him, if he does come here, you first have to look at, can he motivate who currently is on the roster first, right, JR? I mean, that's how I look at it, is you need somebody who is going to be motivating and running the current room we have really well, because we have the best running back room in college football. So – that's number one. $5 holler here. Let's get that super chat real fast. Thank you, Mello, for the $5 holler. He said, go watch the link that I'll drop in the chat. It's of Coach Carlos. I can't wait for him to get here. O-H-I-O. Natty season. Optimus Prime wide receiver one. He's talking about J.J. Smith, I'm assuming, with Optimus Prime. I've heard some people call him that. Go watch this link that Mello is going to drop down for everybody after the show. We'll be done in a few minutes. And go watch this guy speak. He is incredible motivational speaker. So number one for me is control the room we have now. Recruiting takes not a back seat, but a second seat to that. And then here's the thing, guys. He comes in and he doesn't get a five-star stud running back his first year. I'm okay. The portal, baby. What the portal's for? Throw some NIL, get the next best guy out of the portal, and let's roll. All right? So keep your eye on that. JR, any thoughts on that?
Well, I was going to say that in addition to motivating the room, what he also needs to do is he also needs to have a good understanding of how to rotate the running backs in the offense, because that's one of the primary running backs, you know, coach's jobs during the game, is to make sure he's getting the right running back in there for what is being called, all that kind of stuff. I don't need to explain football to anybody here. But at the end of the day, look at last year. And Jordan James rushed for 7.1 yards per carry. Bucky Irving rushed for 6.3. Bucky Irving had 1,200 yards on the season, and Jordan James had 765. So I have a lot of confidence if this guy was able to run a two running back system with Jordan James and Bucky Irving, who Bucky Irving is going to be drafted and be a very good back in the NFL, I think. And Jordan James next year is going to be very good for Oregon as well, I think. But at the end of the day, I mean, both of those guys had 11 touchdowns. He was able to rotate that route or those two backs. And so hopefully,
and that's important given who we have in our backfield this year.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Hopefully he will be able to come in soon enough, have a good understanding of Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, and even some of the other guys, Dallin Hayden, James Peoples. Don't be surprised if James Peoples rushes some this season as well. I know we got that UMass transfer, but James Peoples should get some time this season as well. So if he's able to rotate those guys like he was able to rotate Jordan James and Bucky Irving, things are looking very good for Ohio State if he is, in fact, the next running back coach.
Mello wants us to use the name Optimus Prime for Smith. Let's take a quick vote. Who's a yay Optimus Prime for J.J. Smith? Who's
I'm good with that.
Three for three. All right. He's now known as Optimus Prime on the Ohio podcast, the OHL podcast, Mello. There you go. We'll spread the good word, man. We'll spread the gospel of J.J. Smith being called Optimus Prime.
Must be in response to Calvin Johnson being Megatron, I'm assuming.
He did mention that, yeah. So we'll have to have some kind of a quick button Optimus Prime every time we talk about him or something, you know, in an Australian accent. We'll make it real cool. There you go.
So, by the way, going back to Lachlan, he was actually at Memphis, then Florida State.
Memphis.
Then Western Kentucky and Oregon.
And I think, if I remember correctly, he was like working at a prison or something first. And
he was doing high school coaching prior to that, so it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, and so like this is, dude,
working in the schools.
go look at a picture of this guy. Like, he looks like he could take steel and just bend it. Dude is a workout stud. We've got a $20 super chat from Coconut Dreams 123, my man. He said, Mello and our host, Eric Boggs, also get credit for this awesome quote. Come for the gold pants, stay for the natty. Remember the show when you two came up with that. Mello and Eric, I do. Epic. O-H-I-O. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Yeah, come for the gold pants and stay for the natty. I like that.
Love
awesome.
It.
And my wife's telling me it's time to end this thing. Transformers roll out. Awesome. Hey, guys, we're going to have some great videos for you this week. Remember, if you're not a member, please consider joining. It's only $3.99 a month. We'll be doing some videos behind that paywall that YouTube says we cannot monetize. And so we put them behind the paywall where we take video, highlight videos, and we break them down. Usually that's Aaron. He's much better at that than myself. Aaron coached and played at a high level. I was a basketball guy and a baseball guy. I just enjoy the heck out of football because I'm a Buckeye, right? Aaron is the stud at that. However, Aaron has he's just not in a place right now where he's going to be able. Don't worry, guys. He's fine. He's going to be back. His recording studio is not available, put to you that way. And so when he gets back, we'll be breaking some of these film down. But Chris and I might try our hand at it. We might throw some on there and talk about it a little bit. But it won't be like Aaron, but we'll have fun nonetheless. And we will have some great videos for you. Some big news coming out here soon. By the way, if you haven't, JR is doing a really awesome thing with Mark Rogers TV, the voice of college football, where he gets to talk Buckeyes. JR, tell everybody about that, man.
Yeah, so everybody I think knows about my Big Ten Huddle where we talk about the Big Ten teams. I'm making at least one video a week for Mark Rogers over at the Voice College Football, their Ohio State channel. I'm actually going to make a video tonight and post that tonight. So you go over there and follow there. And then I'm going to try to put something out after Carlos Lachlan gets hired, if he does get hired. I don't want to give anybody false hope if it doesn't happen or anybody say, right, JR didn't know, he was wrong. And it's like, okay. But yeah, at the end of the day, I'm going to try to do something for that. But yeah, so I'm really excited about that and hoping that number one, it will help that channel. But number two, we'll be able to get some more people from the Voice College Football over here too, because I think they have a wonderful community. And I think even Mello is involved over there. So be a good time.
Awesome. Will Buck, thanks, guys. Great show. Really like your honest opinions. Will, be careful because sometimes those honest opinions don't always go over well.
They can be a little brutal at times.
But that's what we do promise you, is we've always just been big fans who are honest, and sometimes we're brutally honest. But that's what makes us who we are. Sean, good to see you again tonight, man. Sean Schrock, great show, guys. Appreciate that. Michael from the Vol Fanatic Show, our good friends down there on top of Rocky Top, as Chris liked to say. JR is doing big things, man. Yes, he is. Looking forward to a lot more big things coming our way very, very soon. So be on the lookout for that, guys. Remember, hit the like, share, subscribe. It really does help the channel. All of you scoopers who came in tonight after that show was over, we appreciate that very much. Spread the good word. Yes, Chris, you got something?
And don't miss our live call-in show later this week, yeah, where you can actually call in and talk with us.
We got something kind of unique, makes us slightly a little bit different than the other Buckeye shows out there. We actually have a call-in show, old school AM radio. I'll say this as my kind of ad for that. When I was a kid, my mom worked evenings. She was a teacher at the Career Center, and my dad would go and pick her up in the evenings. And I remember as a kid sitting in the back seat of our station wagon. I just aged myself.
Was it one of the back seats that looked out the back window?
No, it wasn't the cool one. We didn't have the kind of money for the
cool
one.
Yeah, we had that one.
Yeah, and dad would listen to 610 WTBN AM radio, and on that was Earl Bruce on Monday nights, and Earl, and I want to say Munch on Sports.
Yep, Munch on Sports.
He's a Cleveland guy, but he was on that show at times, him and Earl Bruce. And I grew up on AM radio, and you would get the people call in and talk to those guys. We wanted to kind of have something similar to that, and that's what we've done.
I'm so old, I still listen to AM radio, Eric.
Yeah. Well, you don't – I mean, there's really not a whole lot of radio stations that do call-in shows anymore.
No.
There's a few, but it used to be a really big thing. And so we started Friday nights, and we know that the temperature's getting warmer here in the Midwest. Friday nights is not going to be the night for that. I go camping on the weekends in the summertime. Chris has got a family. He likes to sit around a campfire. And so we have moved it to Thursday nights. So we're going to probably keep it on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. JR has shows normally starting around 9 o'clock, typically. Yes.
Right now it's Monday night because of the tournament, but I think we'll go back to Sunday night next week or something like that. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, those are the for sure Big Ten shows.
Gotcha.
At 9 o'clock, yeah.
So we come on at 8. So you literally could come on. You could go from Scoop, who usually comes on at 7, 7:30, to our call-in show. And then when we're done, head on over to the Big Ten Huddle. You could have a whole night of awesome YouTube Buckeye Big Ten-centric things. And you can call in, and you can rant and rave and talk to us about Buckeyes on Thursday nights. So thank you, Chris.
I can't wait to do these things after games, Eric. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, we're going to be doing them after games this year. Yeah. We're probably going to have to turn off the family friendly rating. I'm pretty sure we try to keep it family friendly because I like to have that rating. You know, I'm a family
during
guy.
During the pre Big Ten schedule, we should be okay.
Will Buck should do a live show on Saturday. Tell me a little bit more what you're thinking, because I'm open to suggestions. Like this Saturday, or you mean like Saturdays in general, or you mean like Saturday during the season? Let me know, Will Buck, what you're thinking. I'd like to know.
You might mean Saturday after the spring game.
Ah, well, we'll be at the spring game. We'll so be if after you're spring. There, you can come see, say
but
hi
like
to us.
Like that Saturday night, do a call-in show, I think.
Maybe we should. Maybe, that'd be fun.
We could stop by the Palatial Boggs Estates and do a post-game.
Maybe. Yes, this Saturday, Will said. We'll see. Maybe. I don't know. Coconut Dreams, go check you out on the Big Ten Huddle. You're going to love it. If you like basketball, they might have – okay, I'm just going to say – they have the best basketball podcast out there. They do. It's not
Appreciate
even close.
That.
It's not even close. Like, it's literally the only basketball podcast I watch and listen to. So it's hard for me to say it's not, because it is, because it's the only one I'm watching. I've watched other ones. I just can't do it. I'm like, ugh, this is terrible compared to what JR's got.
The difference that I've recognized between the basketball community and the football community is that basketball, like – They just get so uppity. Like we dislike Michigan fans because of how uppity they get it at Ohio State, and that's how many basketball fans. Not all, okay. If Dylan, you're still in the chat. So, not all.
Especially those Purdue fans, right, JR?
sometimes they do, and they can't think a joke. But that's okay. It is what it is. But there are many fans in the basketball community that can get very uppity, and it's just like, dude, calm down. You're not that important. Your team's not that important. But you know,
Maryland,
Indiana,
Maryland
in general, dude. Let's just leave it there. We are 95. We used to be 100, but we are probably 95% football on this show. I am looking at expanding our basketball footprint. So, and that's because two things. Number one, I actually love Jake Diebler, and I actually have hope.
Yes.
So I'm like, as a best basketball Buckeye fan, I'm like, finally. We're growing. So why not grow with the next most popular thing? And you know what? I'm also efforting on getting some hockey people onto the show as guests. We just won a national championship in hockey on the women's side. I want to interview their coach. I think that would be awesome. So be on the lookout for that. All right, guys, like, share, subscribe. We really do appreciate it. We will be back this Thursday with a live show at 8 o'clock, call-in show. Be here for that if you like. If you can't make that, be back next Sunday, 8 o'clock, right here on the OHIO podcast, and a lot of big news coming your way. Till next time, be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH. Sing Carmen, Ohio with all your heart. OH.
I-O.
No Bucks.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.